And now, on with the show.
Oh, welcome everyone. Here we are back once again with another brand new episode of Weekend Watch, a production of Green Mushroom Media. I am your host, Spencer, here with Keith.
Hey.
And David.
Spencer, I can hear your fan.
I don't care. Listen to it.
I don't feel like
the other option is turning the fan off, and I don't play like that.
Just hearing Spencer groan for like 40 minutes.
You want me to bitch for the next 45 minutes? I mean, I'm going to do some of that anyway.
I might find that entertaining.
Fair enough. Well, you know, we're here to talk about movies and TV shows and stuff to check out this weekend on your favorite streaming services. But before we do that, I would like to encourage you all to go check out our website, greenmushroommedia.com. You can find links to all our shows. You can find a link to everything we've recommended on past episodes. You can also find a link to our Patreon page where you can click that link, become a patron, just like our dear friend Dylan, and to help support the show. So please do that. And without further ado, we're going to get right into some recommendations. We got a theme this week, you guys. It is Space Week.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a couple of great things and one terrible thing that someone decided to choose. Yeah, I see your eyebrow there, David. Look at that eyebrow. We're going to get to it. Let's jump in to some space-themed stuff. I'm going to kick it off this week, because why not? My recommendation is the brand new 2021 adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune. I don't know. I feel like most people are familiar, at least somewhat, with the story of Dune now, but we follow Paul Atreides, a brilliant and gifted young man born into a great destiny beyond his understanding, who must travel to the most dangerous planet in the universe to ensure the future of his family and his people, as malevolent forces explode into conflict over the planet's exclusive supply of the most precious resource in existence. Only those who can conquer their own fear will survive. I was really excited when I heard this was coming out by Denis Villeneuve, was the director, because it's largely been considered unfilmable. And even though David Lynch made an attempt back in the 80s or whatever, I was excited to see an actual studio do it justice. And I really loved it. They were smart in only doing the first half of the book for this one. Dune 2 is currently filming, if I'm understanding correctly. I don't know. The adaptation was, I thought, really fantastic. Did you guys get a chance to check it out?
Yeah, I definitely did. And this is my first go through on it. I loved it. You know, there's a lot of Dune haters out there because, you know, especially the book, I get could be slow moving, but man, the story is just too good, in my opinion. And this was a really great adaptation. I think they're capturing all the good stuff. Like you said, I like that it's the first half and it's still 2.5 hours. So they're covering a lot of their bases here and doing a great job. Great cast, great cinematography, and amazing score. You know, it has all the feels to it. I'm really excited for the next one.
I unfortunately haven't read this book. I own it. I picked it up at a thrift store or something because I was like, ooh, must have. But I haven't made my way to it. So I don't know in what ways you mean it's unfilmable. I can see. I can kind of understand it because just the visuals in this movie are striking, and I knew they were in David Lynch's movie as well, which I unfortunately haven't seen either. But I mean, I was hooked the whole time. They made this movie look amazing. Yeah. And it was from the very beginning, just it had me hooked. It was entrancing.
Yeah, so as far as that goes, I think it was mainly because of just how otherworldly the plot, the setting, all of that is, that before now, it was prohibitively expensive to attempt to film it and do it justice.
Right, and the writing style, he is so detail-oriented that it's really hard to try and capture exactly the picture he's painting on the film and do it justice.
How do you, watch the David Lynch one. I think it gets a little bit of a bad rap. It's very long, but I still think
I enjoyed it.
I think it's a decent film. The book is dense. The book, I've made multiple attempts to try to read through the whole thing and I still haven't finished it. And I really like that you can take that story and actually make it more accessible now.
I get because that.
This is high sci-fi at its best, I think.
I agree. And that's how I described it to Mystic when she was sitting here. I was like, you have to understand these are, really different cultures. This is high fantasy sci-fi. Just the hierarchies are a little bit hard to understand in some
right. ways. Yeah. I mean, it is, it's Lord of the Rings in space, right?
Like
it is traditional high fantasy with a different setting. But being sci-fi, and I loved it. I loved it.
And the writing style is somewhat the same. There's plenty of people that I've met that are like, I just couldn't make my way through Lord of the Rings. And I love those books. I've read them several times, it's a similar thing where Tolkien is going to spend three pages talking about the birds and the trees and the rocks and the blades of grass. It's similar here, but it's a much different setting in Dune than going through Middle Earth, right? So it can really drag on, and I get that. I get that it's a tough read, and you're right. This movie does just kind of bring it all in and make it very accessible to a lot wider audience.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm stoked for the second one. I loved the first one. Definitely, it's rewatchable. Like you said, the cast, you got Timothy Chalamet and Oscar Isaac and Josh Brolin and Stellan Skarsgård and Zendaya, David Jason Momoa, Javier Bardem. It's so much. Yeah. It's so many people who are just at the top of their caliber, and they really put together quite a performance. I loved it.
And the score sets the tone every time. It nails it. And it's constantly there, but it's not always imposing, but you're always getting the score, and it's setting the tone the entire time. I love it.
Yeah, for sure. So check it out. It's Dune, currently streaming on HBO Max. Well, let's move on. Keith, what do you got? Space Week,
I've got a brand shiny new piece of trash to share with y'all. And man, this is a fun movie. It is absolute garbage, but it is just so much fucking fun that I loved every minute of it. It's on HBO Max. It's 2022's Moonfall. God damn, what a ride. What a ride this movie is. It's rapid fire paced. You don't really need to get to know the characters at all. They barely let you get to know them.
So that's probably for the best.
There's a bunch of ancillary characters that you blow past that you kind of get to know that you think are maybe important later. They're not important later. This is a great movie. The moon is coming down. It's going to crash into Earth. Scientists are figuring out what to do about it. It turns out it's I don't even know. What can I say? That's like a major plot point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe no spoilers. However, all you need to know is that it's a Roland Emmerich disaster film in which the moon is going to crash into Earth. Do you need to hear anything else? Roland Emmerich makes a damn good disaster movie.
I loved every second of this movie.
There was massive suspension of disbelief.
Oh yes, no. I referred to this movie as a beautiful train wreck.
The whole scene where that giant fucking wave is coming as they're launching in the spaceship, and then the wave hits the ship and nothing happens to it.
It just keeps blowing.
Bullshit. It
still escaped. It's so stupid.
At one point, the dude was like, "We're underwater now." Bullshit.
There's no physics. No physics. Physics
matters.
Don't matter. Nothing matters.
Just what the fuck is this fucking movie?
This is the most spaced movie with the least physics of all time. Oh, man.
At one point, the moon, as it's rotating rapidly around the Earth, scrapes off the top of a Colorado mountain.
It's so dumb.
It's ridiculous. And Spencer, you had better be referring to this movie as the bad pick this week, or the trash pick, because this movie was like, it definitely had its fun parts, so I can't call it complete trash, but it was just like, what the fuck was that? What the, over and over again, it was just like, seriously? The part where they're on the ship, and I'm trying not to do spoilers, but they have to like have no electronics.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're fucking surrounded by electronics.
Yeah.
No, they have them turned off, dude. No.
Yeah, you just turn them off. You just turn them off. See,
he's all these lights. He's like shining a flashlight
off right now.
He's like smashing the phone, but he's shining the flashlight at the.
And then the detonator, the detonator that he smashes as they're being like bared down upon.
It still works,
and it just magically works. He's like, "Oh, it's fine now.
It's okay. I unsmashed it a bit."
Yeah.
Oh man, ridiculous. A beautiful train wreck is the best way I can describe this movie. Also, it really dick rides Elon Musk pretty hard. Like, did Elon Musk help fund this movie? I don't know. Sure seemed like it.
Feels like a product of Elon Musk's mind.
He and his companies are mentioned in positive light multiple times.
Multiple times.
Like, at least four that I can think of.
Like, so much so is like, man, this has got to be a joke, right? Like,
well, but this absolutely feels like a product of Elon's mind. This feels, he's like, this could totally happen. This is a documentary in the world of Elon Musk. This is why he wants to take humanity to Mars.
Yeah.
The next time he's in front of Congress, he's going to be like, if you'll refer to my documentary, 2022's Moonfall.
It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me.
It's happening. He's going to change
the fantasy world where this is real.
He's going to change his bio to like, mega structurist.
Oh god. Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it knowing that it was going to be utter trash. It looked visually stunning. They did a great job with the cinematography and the CGI. It looked good. The story was silly, but I knew that going in.
That's exactly what I wanted. We started talking about this movie like a year ago when we caught wind of this. It was like, oh, I want to see this. I want to see the dog shit movie that comes
out
of this.
It's called what now? Yeah.
And it was great. I loved every second of it. 2 hours. It was fun.
And it's streaming also on HBO Max.
HBO Max. You are correct.
Check it out. Moonfall. All right, David, bring us home. What do you got for Space Week?
I got Bee and Puppy Cat. It is ridiculously cute, super casual little show. It was originally a couple of like online shorts, but it got picked up by Netflix, and it's something that Mystic has been chowing down on a lot. So I was watching in the background, and it definitely fit this week's theme. The series revolves around Bee, an unemployed woman in her early 20s who encounters a mysterious creature named Puppy Cat. She adopts this apparent cat-dog hybrid, and together they go on a series of temporary jobs to pay off her monthly rent. The temp jobs are increasingly absurd and chaotic, just doing random things for entities across the stars. Spencer, why did you hate it?
I do not believe that this show was made for me. I understood nothing. I watched 3 episodes and had to stop because I just don't get it. It felt like a Zoomer's fever dream.
Yeah, it's a little Steven Universe-y. I'll give you that.
Yeah. And it feels like, I don't know. I don't want to be too cynical here, but it feels like it's trying to be weird. Like, hey, look at me, I'm weird, kind of a tone. And for me, that just doesn't land. I'm not saying it's not for anybody. But for me, I just could not get into it. I did not understand much of anything about this particular show.
Well, you've really hurt my feelings here, Spencer.
I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what.
That I hated the show you made.
I'll tell you what, I hated it. I fucking hated it. I'm sorry.
You're really going to hurt Mystic's feelings. Like,
we're not trying to do that.
She loved the online shorts so much, and she was so excited when it was made into a show, and she's been binging the shit out of it.
I've really tried. I gave it a shot, and man, I agree. I just didn't get it. It's not for me. I was watching it, and I was just kind of like slack-jawed staring at the screen, like, where am I right now? Why am I watching this? That was, it's not for me. Again, like Spencer said, that's not saying that it's not for everybody. This did not land in my wheelhouse.
Well, yeah, it rated better than your movie.
No, that's
not surprising, frankly.
It's not surprising at all. It has zero rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
I was just going by like what I saw on shitty Google. Google's got like 600 ratings for this. There's probably a couple thousand for Moonfall on Google. Yeah. 4,000 ratings. So
I'm really curious why Bee and Puppy Cat doesn't have a Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah. Yeah, it has everything else listed, both seasons and everything, just no score for it. Maybe it was because it was started out as an internet thing. They do weird stuff like that sometimes.
I'm happy you liked it. The animation style was cute.
It's very cute.
The cat noises, the noises the cat made when he was speaking his weird language,
mm-hmm.
or the dog. I don't know what it is still.
It's a puppy cat.
You know, that was fun. There are things to like. That being said,
there are seven things to dislike.
For me, there were very few and far between. I just didn't get it. I still don't get it.
You're an old man.
And it might be that, you know. There were people sitting there watching the cartoons we were watching thinking we were fucking dumb for watching that shit.
Maybe so. Maybe
it's old man yelling at a cloud here, because, you know, if I showed my grandpa Rick and Morty, I don't know that he would talk to it would have talked to
me. I don't know. Right. You're never going to convince me that Beast Wars does not appeal to all audiences.
Don't get me started on that fucking Beast Wars.
Fuck you. Beast Wars is a goddamn classic.
I have the nostalgia for it too. Don't worry. I am also nostalgic for Beast Wars, but objectively, whoa, that was rough. That was a rough watch.
Fuck you, I literally like last year. Fuck off.
Don't worry, we're getting a Beast Wars movie soon. Did you hear about that?
No. Are they throwing back the animation? Are they gonna animate this on a fucking TI-83?
Let's see, here it is. Transformers Rise of the Beasts comes out June of next year.
Man. I'm excited.
It's a sequel to Bumblebee.
Ron Perlman's playing Optimus Primal? Fuck yes. Oh my god. Fuck yes.
Oh man.
Holy shit, I am here for it. Maybe that's just a Google thing.
That's it. Ooh. That's correct.
Oh, producer's Michael Bay. Fuck. Whatever. I'll still watch it.
Who else do you think would produce a Transformers movie?
I don't know. I just always hope that Michael Bay tripped in front of a bus or something.
Hey, he made some good movies. That's right. That's a bold statement. I'll say it.
You're just gonna end it there. He made some good movies. Period.
Period.
did you guys watch that new one, Ambulance?
No.
You should. It was stupid fun.
Yeah, I've actually heard good things about it.
But that's off topic. Check out Bee and Puppy Cat. It's currently streaming on Netflix. And that ends our recommendation portion of the show. Let's get into some news, because our last show was all Disney news. There's a fair few things to go back and talk about. Actually, I think most of it this week is horror related.
There's a lot of horror, yeah.
So why don't we start off? I know you guys haven't yet watched it, but Ty West released a movie called X a few months ago. It is one of the best modern slashers I've seen in a very long time. The prequel to it, Pearl, just hit theaters and is getting absolute rave reviews. They just revealed that they're going to make a third movie, a follow-up, called Maxine. And that got me real stoked because the first one was amazing. I still need to go and see Pearl, but like I said, by all accounts, it's fantastic. So I'm really stoked to see a third one is already in production.
Very cool.
So please do check out X, guys, when it becomes available to stream.
Yeah, that's one that's been high on my list for sure. It's a A24 film, yeah.
Yeah, it is. So I would assume that at some point it's going to be on Showtime on Paramount Plus because they've got all the A24 stuff.
Word. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Let's talk about the fact that The Witcher seasons 4 and 5 are going to be written and filmed back to back.
I like that. I think it's a good move, especially for a series that has like children heavily involved. You want to get them all filmed while they're in that age range, right?
Right. So, you don't want to pull a Stranger Things or a Cobra Kai.
Right. But it works for Cobra Kai. It really does because like they don't care. They're just going to do their stupid 80s bullshit anyway. So it really works. For Stranger Things, it is weird that like they're still supposed to be 14 and like they're not. But yeah, this is a good move. I think I'm excited for more Witcher. I've really, really enjoyed this show, and I'm looking forward to a lot more of it.
That should be a lot of fun. That should be a lot of fun for the production crew that have to hang around Henry Cavill while he's in method acting mode that entire fucking time.
I hate method acting. That's so stupid.
Is he a method actor?
An excuse to be an asshole. I honestly don't know.
I thought I heard a bunch of rumors about complaints about working with him on The Witcher before because he's just like a pain in the ass method actor. He's not like atrocious like some people are, but he's a little difficult.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, honestly, I think more shows should be doing this. Like, again, do it back to back. You have a lot of content in the barrel, and you're not having to break down sets and reset them up, and everybody's already there. You've got fucking costumes all ready to go. I don't know. It seems like it would save production money to do multiple seasons back to back like this. So I don't know. That should be, it'd be something I'd like to see more of. I don't know exactly how taxing that would be on the crew and stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah,
something to think about.
It might be taxing, but it's also, I don't know. They did this with the Lord of the Rings films. They filmed them all back to back. They all got filmed in a chunk, and those people like are still friends to this day, like cast and crew. They had the best fucking times of their lives because it was that much of a special thing. So I think when it's done right, you capture the magic like Lord of the Rings. So yeah, I think this is something that should be done more.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about this poster that dropped for the new David Harbour movie called Violent Night.
Yes.
Starring David Harbour as some sort of angry Santa Claus.
Yes. I'm all about this poster. I want more. I want a trailer.
Yeah, I need to know a lot more about this movie because he's got a candy cane in his mouth that's lit like a cigar.
I love this poster so
fucking
much. He's
got blood coming off his nose. He's dirty. Ugh, I want to see this movie. I love Christmas horror movies. Not much else to say about that. We still got to wait to see, but I believe there is a release date on the poster, December 2nd. So we should have a trailer shortly.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. We should be getting that trailer. I'm going to post it as soon as it happens.
Most definitely.
A trailer? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the Hellraiser trailer, shall we?
Okay, let's jump to that. We have talked about this Hellraiser reboot a couple of times already. We have a full trailer now. We should post this in our Discord channel so people can go and check it out. You going for it? All right.
I got it.
This is a full trailer, and man, has it piqued my interest. I was already going to watch this, but now I'm going to watch it even harder.
Right.
They
did it right. Just from the trailer, it feels like they did it right. The ambiance, the voices, the I don't know, just the tools and stuff they're using in the cinematography, it looks great. It really looks good. I'm so excited for this film.
I really liked that scene or that line right at the beginning of the trailer where the guy holding the puzzle is like, "Do I win anything?" And the other guy's like, "I do."
Yeah.
that was great. I'm very much looking forward to this. It looks great.
I love that this is an actual reboot instead of a remake. The story is going to be different. We're going to hopefully delve a little deeper into the mythos of the Cenobites, you know, in the first movie. I can't stress how excited I am for this enough. So, yeah, check it out. Check out this trailer. It's dope.
So good. It's so good.
All right, let's talk about another trailer that dropped. It's for VHS 99. Guys, have you seen the VHS movies?
I saw the first one.
I saw the first one. I don't remember seeing any others.
So I believe they're all on Shudder right now.
Oh, good.
The first and second one were great. Fantastic found footage horror, supernatural horror. VHS Viral was not good, but then they made VHS 94, which was stunning. A fantastic movie. Again, picked up right in the vein of the first two, and that one blew me away. So I'm really excited because I believe 99 has the same writing crew and director as 94. I could be mistaken about that, but I'm pretty sure that's how it's going. So I'm really looking forward to this one. The teaser looked really good. What'd you guys think of it?
I liked it. It's debuting on Shudder, so I'm guessing the others will be on Shudder as well. I just shared this little teaser in our Discord as well. So I'm really looking forward to watching these. If you're speaking this highly of them, I've got until October 20th to get through them and be ready for this one to come out.
Yeah, the first one was good, and you know, if you say they're good, I'll revisit visit the others that I've missed so far.
Yeah, for
this
sure.
One looks pretty good.
All right, let's move on to a couple other things here. David, you posted this one. We've talked about the channel All Gas No Breaks on YouTube on one of our YouTube episodes from Andrew Callahan.
RIP.
He made a documentary about the January 6th riots that HBO picked up. So that'll be coming to HBO. I'm pretty stoked to see this.
Yeah, Andrew's had to since change to Channel 5 because some money issues put in the rump. All Gas No Breaks is owned by somebody else and not him. So they changed everything, and they've really done some good stuff. If you liked All Gas and No Breaks, Channel 5 just takes it to a whole nother level. He's such a good journalist at the same time as just getting into the shit. I really like Channel 5, probably even more than All Gas, No Breaks. And it's not surprising to me that HBO picked this up. The guy's a great journalist.
Yeah, absolutely. And the humor that comes along with it, I don't know. I think it's going to be a really well-made documentary. I'm sure we'll talk about it once it's actually viewable.
His humor seems accidental. Like, yeah, in the beginning, that was the whole point, was to go and just like lay bare the absurdity of some portions of the American population. And he's more and more focused on seemingly real journalism. And so now it does feel like the comedy beats are fewer and further between.
They're still there though, because he still has the deadpan, and he doesn't even do the joke setup. Well, he lets you like make a joke out of yourself on screen, and he's just so fucking good at it.
But that's what makes him a good journalist is he's just like almost using the Socratic method, being completely impartial himself, and just like letting them take the reins. And sometimes it's funny. Like I said, sometimes it's a little scary.
Fair. Totally fair. But the documentary is definitely something to look forward to.
Absolutely.
All right. Couple of quick announcements that we've received is that Amazon Prime has greenlit a Blade Runner sequel series called Blade Runner 2099. Ridley Scott will be executive producing. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, this is one, you know, we shit on all these things that get series and reboots and continuations and all this. This is one that I think could benefit from it. This is a rich, rich universe ready for the picking. So series is, I think, a good idea for this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, Warner Brothers has announced a Constantine sequel with Keanu Reeves reprising his role as Constantine.
It's very exciting.
I think he's been working on this one for a long time. Like, he's always bringing up Constantine and how great it was to film, and he would love to do it again. And finally, somebody was like, "Hey, you know what? Let's do this again." And they're going to. And I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, as long as they do it justice. I like that they're bringing back Keanu, and it's going to be a straight sequel. Like, that's good. That's great. Well, anybody got any other news?
I think that's it.
Well, then I think we've recorded an episode, fellas.
Yeah.
Don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Join our Discord. There is a link in the show notes for that. We talked about our website, greenmushroommedia.com. Our link to our Patreon is on there. We've got some Twitter accounts. Check those out as well. And if you don't want to do that, then please do still come back next week for another episode of Weekend Watch. Good night. Thank you.